welcome to another episode of Multiverse Musings, the vidcast, and Krypton's Legacy, a Superman podcast. We're doing that simulcast. I don't know, you can't call it a simulcast. That's not what it is, but that's what I'm calling it. As you can see, I have, or not, if you listen to the podcast, I have my co-host, Steven, who I affectionately call Alfred. Steven, how's it going?
Master Bruce.
And we have a special guest who was last on our show when we discussed Superman Returns, the film. And since Superman is returning to television, why not get Mario Francesco Robles back to talk about it? So that's what exactly what we did.
Yeah, you did.
So much fun last time, Mario. So let's bring him back.
Are you kidding me? This is exciting. This is like a holiday. This is like Christmas Day for a Superman fan. It's the day after we got some new Superman goodness. I've been waiting for a long time to be able to discuss some new Superman goodness. And here we are, day after Superman and Lois. I'm so ready.
It was quite a night last night, I'll tell you that much. But we'll get into it.
Yeah, it was such a night when I was fast asleep,
Yeah, you were sleeping. Mario, I got to tell you, I was so tempted to be a jerk and spoil everything for him.
Oh, like, goodness.
But I didn't. I behaved myself. And so I
don't really read the script, Adam. So I knew what we were going to
I was going to say, you kind of can't spoil it when he's read the script. But either way.
There was that one moment in the opening that if I would have sent him that picture, I think he would have been upset at me.
So I didn't do it.
I actually warned you. I said, stay off Twitter before you watched it.
That's a good point. Yeah, because honestly, that was spoiled for me on Twitter because I was like a half hour behind everyone. Like, I didn't start it till 8:30, and I made the mistake of going on, and immediately somebody posted that already a picture.
I resisted the urge. I was like, "Damn, I should tweet something," but I was like, "No, I'm waiting for it to go." So before we get into it, let's get our social media stuff out of the way so we can just dive in. So, Mario, after they listen to this, if they want to tweet at you in agreement or to yell at you, which is either way could happen. So how can they do that on social media?
They can find me over on the Twitter at IDJ Weddings, spelt exactly the way it sounds, because that's what I do, IDJ Weddings. And I've got a secondary Twitter handle that's dedicated to my podcast. It's The Fanboy MFR, because as you may or may not know, I've got a podcast called The Fanboy Podcast for the last 3 years.
It's a very fantastic show that you should listen to. As soon as we finish up here, you should go and find the latest episode and listen to it. But Steven,
this week's going to be a doozy too. I've got a great.
I already can't wait.
Keep going.
I can just imagine Steven probably sending in 5 questions. Steven, when they want to yell at you, where can they do that?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at SteveBob1984. But if you're going to yell at me today, don't bother because I'm not in the mood. So I was just going to mention the podcast that you're on. We also have a Twitter page for the podcast and the vidcast. It's at MMNPDC.
Yeah, and if you want to talk directly to me on my personal Twitter, it's at Adam_LeesFan. We also have the Facebook group, which Steven has the link in the description. Go there, click the link, ask for permission to join the group, and provided you don't have a ridiculous screen name or image, I'll probably add you. And we could talk there. So there are all the ways you can do it. And even if you yell at me today, I'm in such a good mood, I probably won't care. So last night was Superman's long-awaited return to television in his own show, because he has been on television over the last couple of years. But in his own show, Superman and Lois made its long-awaited premiere. And I got to tell you, guys, that was... I was starting to get even more hyped about it as the days were passing by. Like, I had never, Steven is on a different level in terms of hype. he was eating, sleeping, breathing this thing. But no, I was like, I haven't been this excited for a Superman related project. Again, not counting Crisis on Infinite Earths, I'm talking solo Superman since probably the trailers for Man of Steel. I mean, this was on that level for me. So I guess we've all seen it. We've all, had our Twitter blurbs about it. So general non-spoiler reactions and thoughts. So we'll start with Mario because he's the guest of honor. So Mario, go ahead.
Well, let me just start by saying that, like, I came into this with, you know, relatively muted expectations because I don't just gobble up anything Superman, even though I'm a Superman fan. Like, I completely just bypassed Smallville because it just didn't look like it would be up my alley. Sure. You know, and I don't follow the Arrowverse. And while I have dropped in to watch some of these crossover things and to specifically watch how they introduced this version of Superman into Supergirl, which, you know, season 2, episode 1 and 2 or whatever that was, you know, I've dropped in as like a visitor just to kind of see what's going on over here. But, you know, I'm not really of the Arrowverse fandom. And in general, I'm a little bit just like, I'm a little bit choosy on the types of Superman stories that I'm generally interested in. But then when I saw the teasers for this, and it seemed like, oh, this is like a pretty clear break from the Arrowverse, and the tone and the way, the whole like sort of scale and approach seems to be totally different. So coming into yesterday, I was like, I was just kind of curious. I wasn't expecting it to be amazing, but I'm like, this looks like it could be better than the other Arrowverse stuff I've seen, and let's see what happens. And guys, as it wore, pretty much from like from the first few moments with that great little recap that really sort of sets the stage for where we are in, at this point in this Superman mythology, all of a sudden it started to sink in on me that this is exactly the kind of Superman storytelling that I've been dying for years. I'm talking years and years and years to get to finally spend time with a Superman who's in the middle of his career, who actually has, you know, this history where a lot of the things that we associate with him may have well happened already. Any of that could have happened because of the way how vaguely they handled the flashbacks, and to now catch us up in like a new place in a new scenario where we get to see our boy in a context we haven't seen him in live action yet was just amazing. And the overall execution, I mean, we're going to get into bit by bit, but I mean, I was just floored. It far exceeded my expectations. I cry. We'll get into the cry number soon.
Yeah, that's a very important, like, very important part of the show.
But it was just interesting to me having that feeling sink in on me. Like within the first few minutes, I was like, oh, it's happening. I'm finally getting more time with Superman and its stories in a setting that I'd never really seen before. So this all feels like new, and yet he still feels familiar to me. So this is awesome. You know, so overall, just I'm sold.
Perfect. So, Stephen, where are you considering your expectations were like? You were.
Well, I'd read the script as well, so I knew. Do you know what's funny though? I've read scripts before. I read the script for Batman Begins way back when as well. But when I watch it, it's almost like I forget the script and don't really. So when I watched it, I didn't really think back to the script at all. But there were a couple of moments because there were some bits of dialogue that were missing or were different and stuff. But yeah, I would just. When I, like you were saying, Mario, when you know it's actually happening, when I was like 10 minutes in, I'm like, I sat there, I just had a bit of a giddy moment, and I was like, oh my god, I'm actually watching it. I can't believe
it's happening. Yeah,
yeah. And going back to the trailers and stuff, I remember when me and Adam did a review of that. We were floored by how we weren't expecting it to look like this.
Yeah,
because it is kind of Man of Steel, the series, in a way, in that respect, like the tone and stuff. So we were just kind of floored by that. And I think when you actually watch it and you see everything develop and unfold, you get why they went that route and stuff. So I just loved it. I can't really say what about going into specifics, but the montage bit was my favorite bit, so unsurprisingly.
For me, it was just like you're sitting there, and I think the best thing I can say generally about this pilot, what it did was I sat there and instantly I remembered what it was like the first time I saw Superman in live action, which is I was 10 years old, and it was Lois and Clark. But I felt like a 10-year-old all over again. It was just like, there's Superman. It wasn't, there's Tyler playing Superman. The minute I saw him on the screen, I'm like, it's Superman.
He embodied him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the very end of the episode, I was like, man, with the way the world is today, I didn't realize how much I needed this. But I needed it. And so I think just for me, like I'm as anxious to have Superman on the big screen as anybody else. but I love having him here because
this takes the edge off a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not only that, but it's like I know I can come back and see him next week in the week after.
Yes. Yeah. You don't have to wait. Yeah, years.
Whereas with a movie, I'm like, oh God, what's gonna happen? Is the box office enough?
Yeah.
I mean, a part of me almost doesn't know what to do with itself, right? There was the part of me that was waiting for a Superman 5 from 1987 through like mid-90s. Then there was the part of me waiting for the sequel to Superman Returns from 2006 through like 2010. And then there's the part of me waiting for the sequel to Man of Steel, you know, like the solo sequel. Yeah. You know, so the idea that, wait a minute, I don't have to, it's coming next week? What? This is great. I feel unworthy. How did I deserve this? How did this happen?
I think it's about damn time. Never mind deserve it. I think now you're going to give me not only this one, you're going to give me that Brandon Routh miniseries too.
Yes, I want it all.
Now I'm greedy. Forget about this waiting garbage.
Yeah, you finally gave us a taste of what it could be like. Keep it coming. Keep it
exactly,
coming.
Exactly. So where I think we should start is what we've all sort of hinted at.
Yeah.
I'll set the scene, which is the opening montage, because I've long said that when we do another solo Superman, be it a soft reboot with Cavill or a new film with a completely new actor, however way they do it, instead of giving me your standard origin film where I got to see another half hour on Krypton, and then more small, you know, another 20 minutes of Smallville, and then finally, just give me a quick, and I always liken it to give me what the MCU gave me with The Incredible Hulk. That's what I was kind of thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, Superman and Lois took it a step further because you could, you know, if you listen over the music, you can hear some dialogue. You know, there was a longer scene with Lois and Clark, their first meeting. So this show went above and beyond what I was actually asking for. But when it was over, I'm like, all right, so you've done now two things. I'm already hooked within this 3 minutes. Like, because it was the montage was about three and a half to 4 minutes, and then it came into the nuclear reactor stuff. So I was like, in 3.5 minutes, you've got me, you've sold me now. And I don't know how it is, but I'll spoil it. The first misty-eyed moment start in that 3.5 minutes. I'm like, how is it possible? It's only 3.5 minutes, and we're already here. Like, what's going on? So yeah, I mean, that did everything it needed to do. Like, I was like, look at the. Like, I was like, oh, look at the baby. Like, I was getting emotional with the baby. I'm like, wait a minute, what was this? When did I turn into that? Because, like, I like babies. Like, they're cute and all, but I don't get all, like, instantly mushy whenever I see the first one. But I was like, oh, look at the baby. And, you know, so, yeah, they had
very,
me.
Very crying, very much a crying baby on it as well.
He was crying for the amount of, he's like, see, there's finally Superman. That baby comes out of the womb and he's instantly got Superman content.
Did you not know have you read the Byrne story, Mario? Have you read the John Byrne?
No, I don't think I have, no.
Have you not? Because, they're in these, like, birth matrices out of the babies, and the stuff melted away like it did.
Yeah.
The ship started, I was like,
yeah. there's so many little Easter eggs all throughout too. Can I just point? I mean, as part of the montage and just the general tone of the whole pilot, what I loved is that, like, it seems to reference all the major touchstones of Superman. It's not like Smallville to me in certain ways. Like, from what little I saw, a lot of it tried to build on sort of the Donnerverse specifically with the way the Fortress was modeled and the little Superman music cue. Like, at the end, when he finally becomes Superman, it's the John Williams one. Like, so to me, Smallville felt like a sort of cousin to the Donner movie. This feels like it pulls from Man of Steel. It makes references to obviously the Fleischer Superman, but it also has things in there like the visuals of, like, when he has that iceberg on his shoulders he's going there. That looked a lot like Superman Returns when he's pushing the Krypton island. Yeah. Like, they dropped so many visual references and little things all throughout that honor the entire Superman legacy that I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This is a treat. No matter what kind of Superman fan you are, there's, you know, they're going there.
Yeah,
you know, so I really appreciated that.
You know, Mary, you brought up a good point, because one of my comments to a friend of mine afterwards, as I was texting him, I'm like, you know, this show really could slot in wherever you wanted to in terms of your Superman fandom.
Yeah,
so if you're a Smallville fan, right, in your headcanon, you could view this as
20 years later
a sequel to Smallville.
Yeah.
If you're a Lois and Clark fan, well, guess what? At the end of that show, they ended up with a baby. Well, in the time between, they just had another one.
Yeah, there you go. It's
Superman Returns, same deal. Man of Steel, well, this is the sequel we should have gotten. This is the sequel we should have gotten instead of...
But even still, you could argue he comes back from the dead in Zack Snyder's Justice League 10 years later ends up on the farm with Lois.
Like
by setting itself farther into his life, you could kind of include anything in your head. Yeah. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that was really clever because we've never had this kind of period of Superman's life on film, have we? All like even on animation, I don't think. Comics, I guess you could say, but not.
Yeah, but I can't think of a proper adaptation that's like in live action, no less, that shows him as the family man who's married with kids and now already an established hero around the world,
but
also struggling to figure out how to raise his teenage sons the right way. Like, we've never seen him quite like this.
No. In completely in new territory, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, to me,
do you want to talk about the moment, Adam? Because you know you don't bring it up.
Which was there's two moments in the montage that got
go on then.
It was the Lois and Clark first meeting at the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
And I just thought,
oh, that was
like to me, Tyler, I've seen it online and I totally disagree with some people where, oh, he's just doing an imitation of Christopher Reeve. And I'm like,
oh,
I mean,
said he's never watched those films.
Now these people are saying that, I mean, it's either the Snyderverse invented everything, or the Reeveverse invented everything.
I can't. He was being a mild-mannered reporter, which is what he's supposed to be. Okay.
What did he? He sort of tripped once. Wow. I mean, that's such plagiarism. You know, like,
and he didn't play him like a big oaf like Christopher Reeve did. Yeah, he played him just like a little bit wiry, a little bit awkward, a little overexcited. You know, it was great.
Yeah, in that little moment, it reminded me so much of Birthright, the Birthright Clark.
Yes.
Where it just, you know, it's like, yes, there's some nerdiness. Yes, there's some mild manneredness, but it's not like I said.
And really it's not a
character.
It wasn't over exaggerated, which I like. And the whole moment of like you're actually the second Lois I've ever met, and all that awkwardness. And you could tell that there's that instant
There was chemistry right away. Yeah, the way she looked at him, and
I think we've only seen a small fraction of her as Lois,
but she's already in the running, isn't she?
But she's there. Like, she's so close to knocking my top Lois. Like, she's knocking on the door. It's like, hello. It's like, okay. Well, and what I love about her is side detour a little bit on Lois. If you follow her on social media, the amount of knowledge she has of the character and the amount of detail she puts in to pay respect to the fan base is unparalleled. I've never seen it to that degree, and it makes you like appreciate her so much more, right?
When you just made me think of Kate Bosworth, who couldn't even dye her hair to play Lois. Couldn't bother to dye her hair, so she had to wear a terrible wig. And now we've got Bitsy Tulloch, who is freaking amazing. Thank you, Bitsy. I've been waiting for you, Bitsy.
You're already an all-star, Bitsy. You're right up there. So there was that moment, but then. Like, you guys don't understand. Well, you do, because you probably had the same reaction. Like, I just lost any semblance of self-control when... So the car is doing the tumbly thing, and...
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, it's green, cool. And I thought, that's all I need from Action Comics number one. Green car, we're good.
Yeah.
Then, he prevents the kid from being crushed by it, and the way he puts it, I'm like, holy crap, it's the Action Comics number one. And then... Like, he puts the car down, and I see his suit. I'm like, wait a minute. Well, I pause. I'm like, it's the damn Fleischer suit.
Yeah.
Like,
this is the first moment for me, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't handle it. I was like, oh, my God.
At that point, I'm like, oh, my God, here we go. But, no. So, it's like, how did they – the CW has done this now twice. In that they've created two of the most perfect Superman costumes.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the Kingdom Come and the Max Fleischer.
Listen, I'm not going to get into the debate. Should they be there? Shouldn't they be there?
Oh, the trunks. Yeah.
I don't spend an hour looking at Superman's package. Sorry. If that's your thing, cool, go for it. But to me, if you've seen now Kingdom Come and now this, and you tell me the trunks don't work, it's just because you're closed-minded and you don't like them. That's all there is to it.
Because yeah, there's a way to make them work, and they've proven.
I was like, this is perfection.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm in. Look, you guys are. You guys already got 3 stars based off that Lawson Clark and that Action Comics number one. All you got to do is not screw it up now. We're good.
Like, well, and the actual scene, that dialogue was from For All Seasons, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Would you guys think that? Did you catch that dialogue when the kid's like, well, after he gives the kid his hat and he's like, wow, cool costume. And he's like, thanks, my mom made it for me.
I didn't know that was from something, but I was touched by it just the same because I love those kinds of moments with Superman and kids and all that. And
I thought the delivery was on point as well. Like, it didn't sound silly, did it, coming out of his mouth?
He sold it. And that's what I mean about Tyler.
You're going to take off, then?
Yeah. You never look at him and say...
There we go.
Virgo's so excited he's getting undressed.
Is that Ric Flair and he's in ring?
He's like Ric Flair, yeah. But never once did I think there's an actor playing Superman. Like when he got it. Yeah. And
it's amazing too because he didn't always have it. In the earlier stuff that I've seen, it was a little bit cheesy and it was a little vacant.
It's writing though, but I'm going to blame the Supergirl writers is what I'm going to blame.
I think those first two appearances in Supergirl were on point. Yeah. I think he's after that things got a bit.
It almost feels like he approached this show with this is a fresh start and I'm going to give everything to fleshing out this character because he's bringing a whole other level of intensity to it now.
And that moment there when I heard that line, I instantly remembered that's For All Seasons. That was one of the first Superman books I read when I came back.
Yeah.
So that sticks in my head.
And, have you read that one, Mario? Have you read it?
I did, but many years ago. I don't have
that's
a good
one of my favorites,
memory
though.
For lines
so,
like
it's
that.
It's
but,
so
yeah,
good.
I've read it.
And this is why I'm thankful that I stayed offline for the whole 2 hours, because I was able to appreciate and just soak that moment in. And then I go online and I see idiots. Well, what is that kind of cheese? And I'm like, of course. I look at their profile. Oh, associate producer, of course. And I thought to myself, have you guys ever read a comic book, for the love of God? I'm not saying you have to collect every week, every month, but pick up the tag.
It's upsetting that anytime he's nice, there has to be a comic.
Yeah.
For the longest part, that's just been part of who he is. He's a friend. He's kind-natured, and he's a little bit corny because he really he wants to take care of you.
Cheese,
he wants to make you feel safe and not just safe physically, but this person cares for you. He gives you that impression, even if he only speaks to you for a second.
Yeah,
that's part of what makes Superman Superman. If that bothers you, then I don't think you like Superman.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I don't understand. The irony is, I think Cavill would love to get those kind of moments.
Oh yeah, he would. He would.
He said it
in lots of interviews. He would love to play that more traditional, kind-hearted, just nice guy Superman. Let him get that chance.
Come on. But then again,
now that I'm getting this, I'm kind of good now.
Give me your alternate version. I'll roll with it. That montage was just such a win. And everything from, I don't know what you guys thought, but the proposal moment, which was different than it was on Supergirl. So they kind of retconned that. And then the flight when they're flying in the sky, and it's beautifully shot with the sun.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, again, he's ruining it for every other man in the world because we can't do that crap. It's not fair.
Yeah.
But in my head, I was going, can you read my mind?
It's funny that you mentioned that though, Adam, because I've never heard anyone else look at it from that vantage point before, he's ruining it for everyone except for this one time, and it was very similar. So in Superman Returns, when they're on the roof and they're speaking, and then she doesn't even realize it, that when the camera pulls back,
that's a good moment,
over the city.
Yeah,
I remember my girlfriend at the time leaned into me and she's like, how could she not love him? You know what I mean? Like, he's like, it's so incredible to be with Superman. She may be with Richard now, but like, if you're with someone who could do that, you know what I mean? Yeah. How could you not, you know?
I mean,
so you're just like, even. Does even the line accent?
Yeah. Cyclops has those funny glasses. Big deal.
No, but she says that Richard texts me up all the time, and he's like, not like this. And
yeah, like this. Yeah, like, that's
screw you, Cyclops.
Pretty baller.
But no, I just like the way it was shot. It's like,
yeah,
I forgot I was watching a TV show. It's like,
can we all just like basically agree that every Arrowverse series from now on should be 13 episodes so they could all look like that? Because that's why it looks that good, because they're able to take the budget that normally has to get split up.
It's helping up though.
It's helping too. But on top of that, they usually have to take the same number and get 24 episodes out of it. By chopping that series order in half, they were able to invest a lot more into making each episode look great.
Yeah, exactly. I think 15, that's, like, by the way.
What's that?
15. It's 15 episodes.
Okay.
They added two more, but yeah.
Yeah, but like, by chopping stuff off, like, if that's what it's going to take, like, wouldn't you guys, like, you would probably sacrifice 8 to 10 episodes of any of it.
Absolutely, yeah.
If it meant they looked like this.
What were we saying? We were reviewing Batwoman the other day, and we were talking about this filler episode, and we're like, we just don't need these episodes.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I don't understand why they do it.
The entire Arrowverse would benefit from like 13 to 15 episodes with all the budget poured into each of those, you know?
Absolutely. What did you guys think of? I mean, is there anything else specifically you guys want to mention about the montage that we didn't cover anything?
I'm trying to think what happened in it. There's the bit where the sun throws the ball at there, because obviously they're setting up that Jonathan's got superpowers, but obviously.
Yeah.
I knew anyway, but I think I'd have guessed anyway, because they always do that switcheroo thing, don't they, nowadays? Mm-hmm. Where they make you think one thing and you think it's actually somewhere else. But that's all I can remember from it, really. And obviously the Jordan kicking off, which was kind of hard to watch in some respects, because, I mean, I've got a son as Paddy's, but he's not, you know, he's just a little boy who does things. But, you know, it must be hard for parents of people who've got, like, mental health problems and stuff who are kicking off like that, so... Kind of made me feel bad for those kind of people, especially in the current environment, because people can't really escape from it, can they?
Well, also, I mean, I like that it handles that with some grace, rather than making it like, oh, here's just another whiny, angsty TV teenager. I hate you, Dad. You don't get me. Like, they made it actually part of his character.
Yeah.
And it's something that he has to cope with, and it's something that Clark feels partially responsible for, because of course the kid's going to have trust issues and stuff like his dad's never around, and there's always some sort of weird cover up. You know, it's like I feel like without explaining it the way they did, it could have come off as very trite and very like, oh, okay, I've seen this before, and here's the irrationally angry teenager. But I feel like they grounded it in something that gives him some place to go. And gives the character some dignity within that. He's not just like a cliche, you know?
Yeah, like Black Lightning's daughter, or one of them.
I don't watch any of that stuff, but I know you want to
move on. Black Lightning's really good, you know. That's got a good production value.
It's good, but one of the daughters, man, every time she talks, it's like, please, just stop being a stereotype and shut up.
The younger one.
What's
your name? You're on about,
Thunder, Lightning.
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
I remember when I used to do reviews for Revenge of the Fans, I would always submit how much I hated that character.
Yes.
It still lasted over four
sometimes
years.
Sometimes I would have to edit out, like, okay, he said it 13 times. Maybe we can chop it down to 9.
You're lucky I wasn't doing Spawner reviews, because Lana would have got the show. But no, I that was a good point about Jordan, and I think they handled it, like, you're dealing with a very sensitive subject, so you've got to handle it with some respect and with care. And so far, from what we've seen, they did. So and since this, go on.
No, I was going to say, I know you want to move on from the montage, but the only thing I'll say specifically about it is that I just love the overall way that it frames the series. The way, like, it sets everything up, and it does it in an efficient way, but it touches on several important sort of, you know, bullet points in the Superman mythology.
Well, because you've got Jonathan dying and stuff, don't you?
Hits all the big things, but also shows you some new things, and it just, like, by the end of it, you know everything you need to know right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And on top of that, I think it's rather ingenious that they didn't reference any of the other Arrowverse stuff. Like, it almost like they're trying to create some separation. Because you would think, as part of the flashback of showing this guy's exploits, you might show a clip from Crisis on Infinite Earths. But it's like they're really trying to carve a new sort of path here.
Yeah.
And I am so with that. And if I, go ahead.
Well, the producer said that there would be references, but
we know there will be. Yeah. But it seems like they're treading very lightly on that, and I think that's very smart.
I think in the montage when you saw something about Superman saving a shuttle, I think that was from Supergirl, but they didn't show it. They just showed it a headline.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they just showed him saving the shuttle.
Did you know? Just before we move on from the montage, did you not think the teenage Clark looked so much like Tyler?
I thought so. Yeah, I thought he looked like Tyler. And in general, though, I liked that there were some Welling references throughout, too. Like, just with, like, the sort of curlier hair, they referenced the being tied to a tractor. And even at the very end, and I'm just skipping ahead real quick, but even, like, at the end when we find out that it's Jordan who has the abilities...
Yeah.
The camera pulls back, and you notice he's wearing a red sweater and blue jeans.
Yeah,
and it's like he's wearing like the Smallville Clark who always had the colors on. You know, so there were so many little things like that. But if I could just one last thing, I swear about this montage, then we can move on. Because I also saw it a second time. I saw it yesterday, and then I saw the first half of it again today. Because a very dear friend visited me, and I'm like, bro, you got to give me like 15 minutes of your time. And I didn't tell him even what it was I was putting on. Yeah. I just started it. And he's like, oh, it's Superman. Oh, okay. And I'm just watching him like watch the preview, the montage. And by the end of it, I saw him go like, oh, so like he's already done all that stuff. Interesting. Yeah. So this is after that. Oh, and suddenly, like, something clicked, and he's like, it suddenly, he went from being a little like, oh, another Superman show, to like, oh, no, this is like, now we're in uncharted territory. Now you have my interest.
Yeah.
And I feel like whoever came up with the idea of handling the start of the show that way was, they deserve like multiply their salary by 10, because that was a great choice for setting the stage for.
Well, Todd Helbig wrote it, so I assume it was him.
And when this COVID prep clears up, give us a set visit, because I've been saying that montage thing for years. One last thing about the montage. I'm kind of glad. I don't want it sounds wrong for me to say it like this, but you guys will understand what I mean. I'm kind of glad that they went back to the heart attack, because. I like that it's a natural thing that Superman can't stop.
Well, if I may be the one dissonant here, I had an interesting experience with that then had a sequel in it 15 minutes later in the episode. But like when he died, I actually groaned a little bit, because I'm of the belief that Jonathan Kent is not Uncle Ben. He does not have to die.
Yeah, there is that mythology.
There are plenty of versions of Superman where he still gets to go back to the farm and speak to Ma and Pop for advice and stuff like that. You remember Lois and Clark? And I was kind of hoping we would get that. I mean, either way, I didn't have one.
They kind of had to in this, though, didn't they? Because of the premise of the.
Yeah, but when he died, it was like, oh, so once again, we're killing off Jonathan. Okay, here we go again with killing off Jonathan.
And then
we're not done.
Hey, who's died more, the Wayne's in the alley or Jonathan?
You're going to do an episode on tallying that up and figuring it out.
Yeah, but I will say, that, oddly enough, though, that while killing off Jonathan gave me like in a way... I gave them a pass for that when Martha also died, because then I realized, like, oh no, it's important for this story that they want to tell that Clark kind of be on his own. And I guess that seems to be part of this, where he has to figure out how to be the dad he wants to be without Ma and Pop's guidance.
Yeah. Well, that's the other moment I cried when Mark and
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Tyler's acting as well.
Yeah.
Tyler's acting was brilliant.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, but I didn't know it was that good.
I was shocked. I'm like, I couldn't believe they went there. Like, when they showed her do the thing where she touches her chest for a second at the end of the phone call, I thought, oh, okay, maybe they're going to do a storyline where there's something in the water at Smallville and he has to fix it or, you know, whatever. Then all of a sudden, like, no, that was apparently setting up her sudden and tragic, untimely death. I was like, how can they do this to my boy? Like, I was mad for a second, but then I was a mess.
But then the cool thing was that, well, it's not cool, but she gave him the advice about the
come
parenting.
Home.
You know,
yeah, she, and yeah,
let, show them the vulnerable, you know, present father.
Yeah,
that's what that's what you're. So she gave him that. It's basically the Superman version of "With great power comes great responsibility." Yeah. But having nothing to do with his powers, it's about being a father. So she gave him that advice that can drive him forward. And I like that her teachings, her behavior was a constant. You know, touchstone in the episode, whether it be Lois talking about it, Lana mentioning that she was like the Superman of Smallville. I'm like, see, there we go. Like, that's where
she
gets his.
She affected a smaller community than Superman does, but in a way Superman does.
Yeah, it was... and I love that. I love that. That was
and it's really, in life, it's all a matter of scale, right? If you're able to affect positive change in your little nick of the woods, then you're a superhero there.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of like a nice moral, too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we could all be Superman in our own little square of the corner of the earth.
Yeah.
Small little gestures can go a long way, right?
You don't have to lift icebergs to help people, you know.
Cool. Well, that scene was good.
So let's talk about that. I mean, because that's next in line.
I want a screen grab of Adam like this.
Reminds me of John Peters.
but really though, I'm trying not to like
oversell it.
The tires of this thing, but it has to be for me. It's right up there with the damn plane sequence from Superman Returns. It's one of the best Superman rescues I've seen in any live action.
It was a reference, like you said, about to Superman Returns, but on Superman 3. So it was like, but afterwards when he goes to talk to General Lane, I was
the tone of that conversation, that was Superman speaking to a general. Yeah. It was amazing.
And I think maybe some people have waited for that from Tyler, and then they kind of got it in that moment that he's Superman, and that was just. I mean, you go back to Man of Steel. You remember the scene where he talks about he tells them what to do with the ship, basically. It kind of took me back to that.
Yeah.
Or even at the very end of the movie when he's telling the general, like, he gives him the satellite back and he's having that conversation. Like, the Superman interacting with members of military is kind of a trope. And when Tyler finally got to do it, and he sounded like, you know, the noble but in command sort of guy that
and
he
everyone's
was
cheering
great.
As well.
But I like how they do. I like how they go from that to he's like, oh, yeah, so I can take the boys fishing. He's like, yeah, we'll set some dates up with Lois. And it's like,
he's like, you've been working a lot of OT lately. Is my daughter okay with that?
But it's the cool dichotomy of the show in that, yes, it's Superman, it's the superheroics, but then it can easily transition into a family drama, which is like the balance was everywhere.
I mean, and that apparently is going to be the nature of this show. That's what's going to make this show stand on its own. Yeah, it's about that balance, and that's like intrinsically there right from the get-go. The very first rescue ends with let's talk about family stuff.
But I'm still trying to process how good that damn lifting the iceberg looked.
Sorry, you're going to say details and stuff with the hair getting wet and stuff.
Yeah,
so if we're going to get geeky and get into the details, what I loved about that was this is a Superman that struggles a little bit. Like he wasn't just holding the iceberg like this is nothing.
There's
different ways to depict him. You know, this and I was curious, how is this Superman? So when I see that he's holding it and it's not necessarily easy for him, but then even when he's lowering it down into the silo, you realize that he's struggling, but it's not because it's getting heavier. It's because he's trying to have finesse. He doesn't want it to fall and break too soon. He wants it to slowly melt so that it can, you know.
Oh.
So it's like, it reminded me of like in Superman Returns, like when he's saving the airplane and rather than just get in front of it and hold it, Like, that's what Christopher Reeve would have done. You know, they didn't do the physics too well.
It was just here.
Like when Christopher Reeve caught Lois Lane, she would have fallen to a million pieces in real life. For her falling from the top of the and him flying up, she's gone.
Mary would have been okay with that if it was the Kate Bosworth version. Like, no,
you know, so but just like in Super Mario Returns, you see him struggling with the plane and he's trying to use the real world physics and the wing comes off. This reminded me of that with the iceberg where he was trying delicately to handle this with care and finesse, and it's not easy for him. You know, I'm like, oh, this is that kind of Superman. Yeah. I'm so glad he's not the kind who's just like, hey, this is nothing. I'm fine at all.
Yeah, it reminded me of Superman the Animated Series because he's not overly powered in that. Yeah. I kind of like that Superman a bit more. He's powerful, but he's not like ridiculous, like moving moons and stuff like that.
No, but also in that scene, what you see is as he's using the heat vision and like he used all his powers in that one scene.
Yeah,
but as he's doing all that, he's processing and thinking. He's coming up with a tangible solution as he's going. So, like you see,
he's thinking too. Yeah, he doesn't just look like.
Let me use
I'm
my action
four.
Man. Yeah, don't worry. I can do anything. Look at my strength. It's like I got to think about how to approach this.
You
can
see there's a thought process, and he's calculating the pros and cons, and trying to make sure
you can see the wheels turning.
That's. I don't like the big brute Superman who just look how stoic I look as I do all this stuff. Like, I want to know that he's weighing out everything. You know, like, I love those touches. And this had that.
It was the weirdest things that, like made me smile. Like, when he comes back home to the little brownstone thing, and he, like, the way he descends, like, into the alley so he could change, I'm like, the way he descends reminds me of Brandon Roth in Superman Returns. It was like, but it's like minus the spying on Lois with his X-ray vision, minus the creepy crap.
We have skipped one thing, by the way. The little theme on the titles. The new Superman theme because I quite liked it.
Well, you know what? I think I skipped it because I wish they would have played it in all its glory. Like at some point in the episode, I guess a part of me was waiting to know. Like, all right, so what? What is the new theme? You know, and we got a couple of bars here and there. Like, it felt like a little tease. Yeah. But I'm like, at some point, it'd be great if we could just hear the theme, you know? But I guess
they got to give it to us when they go to the fortress.
Maybe. Yeah, I feel like maybe they're saving it for some extra Supermanly moment at the end of the season or something. But I was waiting for, like, the full-fledged theme to play at some point.
I miss the days when TV shows have intro. Like, the theme is in the intro.
I used to love Lois and Clark.
Yeah. That's great. It was my ringtone for several years. But what I liked about him going home is, like, we haven't talked about Lois aside from the beginning, but what I like about just to double back on Lois, two areas where you see like your vintage, let's call it vintage Lois Lane, is when Clark is let go at the Daily Planet, like how she furiously defends him, and she just calls out the stupidity of the decision, and then like at home as she, like you see her, she's trying to cobble together sources for a story. But also, worrying about, okay, listen, your dinner's in the friggin' wherever it is on the stove. Do this with your sons. Like, she's just juggling everything. And I'm like, okay, this is Lois Lane. Like,
she's not skipping a beat.
She's all over it. Yeah. And, like, it's just throughout she's just furious the way she's, like, digging after the truth and like, furiously going after, ready to, she's ready. You can tell she's ready to go after Morgan Edge. But just the way she defends her boys, all three of them, I guess you could say, it's like, that's Lois. It's like, she just nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, her end of that scene was great, but also the stuff for Superman I thought was really strong too, because it was something I can relate to. And I feel like almost anyone could, where sometimes you come home from work and everything at work went great and you're feeling good and you come home and then they're like, hey, you forgot to do the dishes and you were late to the thing and you get knocked down a peg as soon as you come in the door. You come in, chest puffed out.
I'm Superman, and then
I conquered the world. Yeah. This sounds like I'll come home from like DJing a wedding with like I had 300 people on the dance floor and they're cheering for me and everything's amazing. And I come home and it's like, Mario, you left your damn socks on the couch, and Sebi, you were supposed to play Monopoly with him yesterday. So, like, yeah. That reminded me of, like, oh, yeah, like, I know that dynamic, and imagine for Superman, it's even obviously different.
He literally is Superman, and then he comes home.
But the fact that they included that, and you get to see him kind of get knocked down, because right before he walks in, if you go back and rewatch it, he's kind of got, like, a grin on his face, and he opens the door, like, oh, here we go.
Family.
And within 30 seconds, Lois brings him right back down to Earth. And I'm like, I know that feeling. I know that
feeling. It's very, very relatable. And I like the way they played off, like, right from the get-go, his interactions with the two sons. Like, and again, when he's talking to Jordan and you know, the girls on the other end of the screen.
Yeah, and like,
it's vintage, but it's vintage Clark Kent. Like, that's... There's
his pride, his real pride. When he was like, "I'm so proud of you," like, you could see he was. It was so nice. It was like, it was great. And then he came in and waved at the girl at the end.
Yeah.
It was great.
That was
one of the moments when you're a teenager and your dad does that. You want to die.
Yeah, then. Exactly. Oh, I love it.
Leave the room, David.
Dad, I'm talking to a girl. Like, not here.
Please go away. But then when he goes into Jordan's room, like, the contrast. And it's like, oh, you're playing, you know, he's all excited.
You're not a bad Superman.
He picks Superman. He's like, son of a... It would have been worse if he was playing as Batman, though. Like, at least it was great. Can you imagine if it was Batman?
Oh, my God.
And in a way, though, to me, that felt like another bit a flex from the people behind the camera, showing the Injustice Game sort of once again shows, like, this is a Superman that's been around for a while and that he's part of popular culture.
And
it's almost like, you know, Superman the way they know him in the world. Like, he's been around a while. Everyone has an impression of him, and there's video games and everything. I feel like that was like a subtle way to sort of bring that element into it also. And then to have the son say Superman's boring, which is what a lot of people who don't get the character say.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so I guess this show is going to maybe disprove that notion, but they're bringing it in because that's what a lot of people say.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so lame.
Yeah.
You know,
I just thought, pointing, like, the finger at the perception out. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. So it was sort of meta. It was meta in a way. And I love that.
So we
before you move on, right? When he goes, Dad, and he turns around hopeful, like, and he's like, you said the music back up. I'm just like, oh my God, that is awful.
He's like, I'm gonna go take a flight just to make sure the world's okay. I'm getting out of here.
I'm gonna go snap someone's neck right now.
Yeah.
Where's Zod?
He calls Bruce Wayne. Go ahead, say Martha one time so I can just punch you in the...
He just keeps dead Zod in Fortress, goes every now and then.
No, he has the guy from Star Labs just clone him an infinite amount of Zods that they keep in a tank somewhere just so he could show up. You know, I'm going to need three Zods. This is a three Zod thing.
Oh, my God. When his kids give him too much lip, he's like, man, let me just zoom around the world a couple of times. I'll fix this real quick.
Spin the planet around you. Honey, you were late for work.
Just before you were born.
I mean, I like that. You could do a whole montage of, like, things only Superman could do to get out of a problem. You know?
Boss is yelling about him about the dishwasher. I'm out of here. But, oh, wait a minute. Lex is at it again. I gotta go. I'll give you Alfred's number. Call Bruce. Yeah. No, but so we talked about, you know, we already went over the death of Martha.
Yeah.
And so that gives them the impetus to go back to Smallville. Before we get into the boys doing their barn sort of discovery, the funeral between Martha and how they juxtaposed it with, you know, they went back and forth between young Clark and his father's funeral.
Yeah.
That was, like, so well shot, like, beautifully done.
And it once again emphasizes this is Clark how we've never seen him before.
Yeah.
Because
we've
seen him without a dad through, you know, many incarnations. We've never seen him without either one.
And,
so it seemed like another way to signal to the viewer, like, you've never seen him.
This is different.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that, because we didn't really touch on this, but you see it in the Smallville scenes. The way the boys interact with each other, like, you know, the ribbing and the poking.
Mm.
Like,
yeah, that's how, and it doesn't feel forced.
No, it's really just, that's how brothers behave with each other. Yeah. Like, they, you know, poking.
And I feel like... John, you know, they obviously have there are odds a little bit, but you can tell they really do care about each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
They never had
And that's important because if it was just the hazing, if it was just the teasing, that would again feel very sort of one note and cliche.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen these brothers on TV before. I've seen this dynamic. But the fact that there's the hazing, but then afterward, you could tell that there is a love and a warmth there. To me, again, it grounds it and it makes it actually.
Well, you can tell as well. He's almost trying to get his brother to push on with that Sarah. Isn't he?
Yeah, he's not trying to like. When he realizes, oh, it's you. He's rather than get competitive, it's like,
yeah,
no.
That's
great.
Well, can I just say one thing? Who puts a Wi-Fi router in the barn up there?
I mean, maybe it gets a great signal because of the alien spaceship, and maybe it boosts the Wi-Fi. You get a great signal when you have a spaceship under your router. Yeah, who knew?
You pick up more channels.
It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me.
Kryptonian HBO Max.
Let's hope it's not the Kryptonian Playboy.
You probably get like bonus channels. You got to imagine you get bonus channels if you have an alien under the router. What are they watching on Venus? Whoa!
What I liked about it was actually. One of my concerns was when Lana and her family walked in with the two dogs. Yep. I'm like, okay, if this is going to devolve into, you know, typical, you know, the CW formula, here's where it's going to do it.
Yeah.
But it didn't because, like, you could tell, you know, Jordan has a thing for her, but it wasn't like, oh, my God, okay, this is going to be me now for the next 4 or 5 years or 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah, he kissed her in the first episode.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not his problem, is it?
But it wasn't like, okay, like she doesn't reciprocate. She's like, what are you doing? You know, it's like, it's not like.
That was funny, actually, because it's one of those, it's almost built like a moment like they are. And then she's like, literally like.
Yeah, the music swells. Yeah. But she's like, hang on.
What is wrong with you?
But it was a cool way to like subvert expectations too. Because I feel like we all did the same thing when we saw the girl and we saw the boy and we saw what was going on. Like, oh, okay, so there's gonna be this romantic subplot, and maybe at the end of this season he asks her out to the prom or something, you know. Yeah. But no, like right there they got really close really quickly, and she confided in him and they kissed. Like all of a sudden it was like, this didn't go at all the way I thought it was going to.
No.
This is exciting. It kept me uneven. Like, I maybe shouldn't roll my eyes. These people seem to have an interesting way they want to tell the story.
I mean, it may develop into a relationship, but I don't think
it's going to be.
I don't think it's going to be instantaneous.
I didn't blame the boyfriend. You'd be pretty peed off, wouldn't you, if you were him when you saw that happen?
Absolutely.
He's not like Whitney. Whitney was a jackass, but, you know, this guy's different. But what I liked about the whole thing about, you know, the barn discovery, it does two things for me. It evoked sort of the Man of Steel moment when Clark discovers his ship and stuff like that. But it also, the boys being that inquisitive and that, you know, like, we got to find out what's in there. That's their mother. But
the Snoopy reporter.
Yeah, that is totally their mother. And I'm like, okay, I haven't seen much until you know, Jordan reveals himself, but
yeah,
I haven't seen much of Clark and Superman in Jordan, but I definitely see Lois. Whereas with John,
that curious, inquisitive nature.
With John, you definitely see like more of a Superman, to be kind of thing.
Yeah,
so they subverted you of. I mean, we knew who was the one with the powers because we read the script, but if you're watching and not knowing that,
I kind of know it anyway, though, because they always do these switcheroos.
At the beginning, they set it up to make you think, okay, this is the Superman analogy. This is the Lois, you know what I mean? So I think they were very clever with how they pulled that off. And just like the visual effects on the ship with him touching it and the whole nine yards.
Oh, so cool.
And that effect, it just, like I said, like you said, it kind of, it's a love letter to all different types of Superman media, and this was very Man of Steel. Like, this was very, you know, Man of Steel moment.
What did he do with that crystal that he got, though?
I was just about to ask, but I got to assume that it's going to factor in.
In his pocket, burning a hole in his pocket.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next episode we see him, like, just playing with it and they remind us, like, oh, yeah, he's still got that thing.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? Like, that's probably going to be, like, a recurring thing, I would have to think, you know?
You would think so. And so what I liked about this was that before the reveal, it was always a constant bit of conversation of, should we tell them? No, yes. And it was the back and forth. And this is how, no, I'm not a parent, but I have parents and I've interacted with lots of parents.
You have parents?
Yeah, no, shocking. I know. But and neither of them.
Is that even called Martha?
No, thankfully not.
I'm going to get so many hate comments.
Oh, yeah. I'm not touching that. I almost did yesterday on Twitter, but I refrained. But like the back and forth discussion about a specific, you know, thing that is on the mind or a pressing matter for a family, that felt very true to life. It was, now, granted, they're dealing with a subject matter that, should we tell them that you're an alien? I mean, that's not true to life. But the idea of the back and forth discussion of it felt very...
Don't you think as well, though, they're both right out there, because he's right in a way that it's a burden for him to know that he's Superman. Yeah. But she's also right that you can't keep lying to your children.
And then, you know, they're kind of forced into it.
And in a way, they're both right. Like, it's not like you as a viewer, it's not like there's a clear-cut way on which one to do.
Yeah.
On his point, you could understand it. That's going to have a really weird impact on you. Because, you know, you're going to find your dad is an alien. You're not fully of Earth. Oh, you might have superpowers.
Yeah.
And when daddy's been away for these last 15 years, it's because he's fighting aliens. It's a lot. So you could understand where he's coming from. But at the same point, you totally get where she's coming from. You know, no matter what it is, the truth is worth it. So we got to give them the truth, and then we'll figure out how to get them to be okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they're both right, you know?
And I like how in that moment, like when Clark is revealing the secret, and he's telling them basically his origin story, again, it's like, look, we're not going to give you the full, you know, 40 minutes of origin. Here's the cliff notes in case you've lived under a rock for the last 80 some odd years and don't know who this guy is.
But
again, cleverly done the way they revealed all that. And then when he lifted he did it twice. He did the Superman the movie callback.
With the back end.
But then when he lifts the whole thing and it's like, that part's effortless. I'm like, okay.
Now he's
just showing off.
Yeah,
I liked as well that when he tells him he's Superman, he doesn't actually say I'm Superman. It's Jonathan that goes, "You're saying you're Superman," because they must know the Krypton history of Superman and all that. They obviously know that. But
that's
in this
true.
World,
yeah.
The same article was written that was written in the Donna film, you know, that kind of thing.
And so the interesting thing is, because we've had a lot of conversations, you know, some of the bone of contention with some people is, well, how can his kids not know he's Superman? Well, if you look at the way that the television frames their shots of Superman, you can't really see his face close up, right?
Who actually spends that much time with both characters, you know, that really when you think about it, slowest.
And in real life, Superman would just be this thing that you see from afar, and you'd only see him in pictures. You wouldn't have, you have no sense of what he'd be like right next to you.
Yeah,
you know. So it's another point of it too.
So the reveal was cool. I thought both sons' reactions for me was understandable and legitimate. It didn't feel like, okay, this is another TV trope. Like, look, if your father tells you he's an alien, like, you're gonna be freaked out by that. It's not gonna be, hey, all right, let's talk about grandpa in the fortress, you know, like, so
But also, like, tonally speaking, if they were going for something that was more just for laughs and lighthearted, they could have had one of them be like, oh, my God, this is the coolest day ever.
Yeah.
You know, but having them actually take the real world weight of, like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? And be a little, like, that's, that also shows you kind of, like, the tone they're going for. They're not going just, like, for laughs or for, like, simplistic one-note characters, you know?
What got me with that reaction was specifically Jordan, when he's like, I'm half human and I'm half whatever the hell he is. Because as a kid, you know he's Kryptonian, but you're not going to be able to process, okay, what is that? Now you're trying to process, what does that mean for me? Like, what the hell? What the hell am I? I know exactly. He's full Kryptonian. I'm some sort of hybrid.
Brilliant,
you know?
In that scene as well. Like, I thought it was brilliant in the whole thing, but just that scene in particular.
The youngsters were, and I sound like a 50-year-old man when I say that, but the youngsters were really good in this pilot. They were really well.
They were, yeah. I thought Jonathan was absolutely hilarious. He was cracking me up.
Yeah.
So,
just a side note, I don't know if you guys know, but I saw some behind-the-scenes imagery. With wires, obviously, they actually shot that scene practically.
I think you could tell, to be honest.
I'm like, that was great. Like, that to me,
you can usually tell by position at legs when it's a wire shot, I think.
So that was all shot practically. But what I liked about all those kind of scenes with the reveal and the aftermath of it, I love Lois's place in all of it because she's right there beside him. She's right in the thick of it. She's the one who keeps him centered. Like, the way he's not prepared for, like, he but he isn't.
Yeah,
What
did you think to the scene where Sam Lane comes and he's like, "Is there a phone box you can change your phone?" Brilliant. And then she's like, "No, you can't go." And I kind of thought she was right as well. Yeah. But at the same time, I kind of thought he was right as well.
He's like, "Well, you married Superman, so you fell in love with Clark, but you married Superman, so this is what it's going to be like."
That was a great line. Like, that line, I loved it. And it was also, I don't know if you guys picked up on it. Maybe I'm just putting the two together. Maybe it has nothing to do with it, but it reminded me of, remember when in Lois and Clark, when he asked her to marry him, and at that point she figured it out, and she takes off the glasses, and she's like, "Who's asking, Clark or Superman?" Yeah. I got vibes to that, and I'm like,
I know what you mean.
There was another cool Superman reference there, a Superman Returns reference in there that I'm curious if you guys caught, where, you know how in Superman Returns, Lois writes why the world doesn't need Superman.
Yeah.
And at some point in this, she says the world will always need Superman.
So it's
always, and it was like, nice. Yeah.
She learned her lesson.
Yep.
No, but like I said, the way, you know, we've talked about Superman a lot, the kids, but these kind of scenes remind you that Lois is right there front and center. Like, there's a reason she's part of the title of the show.
Well, and I think they're going to give her some really interesting stuff to tackle here, though.
I can't wait to see her go after Morgan Edge. Like, I want to see that feisty reporter.
I think that's part of it, but I also think there's something there about small-town America versus the big city, because, like, there was a little bit of that with Lana's husband and Lois, where he was speaking to her like she's this liberal big city reporter who doesn't understand what life is like here.
Yeah.
And it seems like part of the subplot is Lois is going to understand what's happening in the middle of America and perhaps why that part of America is hurting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And part of it is that's the predatory loans and all this sort of stuff. Like, you could tell, like, she's going to start probably exposing ways in which the people in this part of the world are being taken advantage of. And that can be an interesting plot point as, you know, as her overall mission for the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just, I feel like they're going to touch on some interesting real world, almost geopolitical stuff. In that scene with Lana's husband, it was very clear that he's sort of conservative and the country guy who doesn't trust her from the outside.
Yeah.
And she's going to start, you know, she's learning about what happened with the bank. She's going to learn what goes into making a farm run and all that sort of stuff. I have a feeling like she's going to suddenly get an appreciation for country life and perhaps try to help what's happening in Smallville, like Martha used to do, but now she's gone.
Lois may sort of
help pick up that mantle and help save Smallville in a way. You know?
Well, I think as well with in real life, small things happen in small towns you don't tend to hear about, do you?
Yeah.
But bad things do happen, so it's kind of showing you that bad things can happen anywhere.
So having Lois shine a spotlight on this part of the thing, it'll be an interesting sort of way to go, you know?
But I like the way, like Mary was saying, they put some geopolitical, you know, stuff in there.
Yeah, and it's light, and it's mild.
Bashing
I like
over
that.
The head of, hey, like, Supergirl used to do, okay, yes. Trump is terrible. Yeah. Okay. Everybody.
Everybody
knows.
Like,
we don't have to we have to keep going every 5 minutes with the whole thing. So I like the way they did it. Very subtly. You know. Look, we're going to explore this, but we're not going to beat you over the head, and it's not going to be some, you know, thing where we make it preachy. Like, there's a way to handle it. Without,
And if you're going to try to tell a Superman story that's set in contemporary America,
you have to deal with
it's kind of cool to have characters who exemplify some of the different viewpoints and make that part, you know, if this is truth, justice in the American way, if this is a Superman for 2021, it's good to have characters who kind of show both sides of where America is divided.
Yeah.
And if even in this idealistic world, if we could find a way to bridge that divide in the show, I think that's a cool moral for the people watching.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a nice thing to put into the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Show the divide respectfully without vilifying one or the other. It was very, very well put.
Yeah.
So we got to talk about the big bad.
We have to talk about Clark's power super spell because he didn't use it.
It's like, I do have super spell. I just don't use it.
That cracked me up. That absolutely cracked me up. Oh, that was brilliant. Do you not want to talk about the Lana and her husband before?
Let's talk about Lana for a bit because there was contention again on the internet. They thought based on the script, they're going to do a love triangle between Clark and Lois and Lana. It's like, no. And there was none of that. At least I didn't see it.
No.
And when he saw that, I think it was him just seeing his old friend, and it was like, my old friend's here. No.
Yeah, I mean, imagine you just lost your mother. It's a heavy day, and you look over, and there's someone who takes you back to high school. You know, like it brings back. So when he looked at her, I didn't get like, oh, Clark is swooning over Lana.
Yeah, I mean, I would have done because of look at her.
Yeah, I mean, the Emmanuel Streakery is great, but
it just felt like, you know, he saw someone who brought him somewhere. He was remembered. Yeah. He saw an important person, you know, and I'm like, that's all I really got. There was no eyebrow. There was no like, ooh, how you doing? You know,
people's eyebrows.
Turns into Austin Powers. Yeah, baby.
But no, I got some red kryptonite on the nightstand. Let's go. No, but there was a scene that was a call. There was kind of like a reference to Smallville where they're at the bank, and she said, "Oh, weird stuff used to happen in this town all the time when we were younger."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Yeah, it's
Smallville. Soul Asylum."
So I like that little nod. But I like I said, I think that scene at the kitchen table, some people could have construed that as making Kyle out to be the bad guy, but they kind of rectify that when they show him at
with
the
firefighter bit at the end.
Yeah.
And in an odd way, in an odd way, that actually reminded me, it's going to sound weird, but of Richard White, because I like this idea of women who love Clark end up with guys who are heroic. Lana and Clark have this have this history. And who did she marry? A firefighter. He saves lives. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like these people who love Superman or Clark end up, like if he's not around, they still go for that guy who will run into danger and save people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's a common characteristic. So this guy Kyle may not be Superman, and he seems like a complicated character who we're going to have weird feelings about. But he has that heroic part of him too, where he runs in to save others, and he will do the right thing. You know,
I think he's going to be one of those characters that you're going to. I don't want to say quite say redeemed, but I think by the end of the season, he probably will kind of redeemed in some way. I sort of got what his daughter was saying when she said, like, you know, he sees a lot of bad stuff, like meth labs. And I thought, that's actually true, because firemen must see some awful things.
You see terrible things,
I mean, imagine being a cop or a firefighter. I don't envy those people whatsoever.
And that was a comment on current day America, because not to get too serious on the show, but, you know, there's the opioid crisis. There is a meth problem out in the Pacific Northwest over there. You know, I mean, in the Midwest, I should say. So it's like the fact that they're bringing all this up, it makes the show feel sort of more serious and relevant. And like they're willing to touch on subjects that are not just like, oh, here's a new comic book villain to fight off. It's not just like fluff. It's like, oh no, we're gonna talk about what's happening in America today. You know, that's pretty cool.
You have to, because if those are the value, like you were saying, if you're gonna say truth, justice in the American way, like you've gotta deal with the America of right now, not the idealized this is what we want to be. No, this is what we are. Let's deal with it. Right?
And even the idea of like kids who were over medicated and stuff. Yeah, I feel like they were talking about that, about you know, beer and benzos don't mix, and I'm on my own thing. Like, I feel like at some point too, they're sort of commenting on like how we're medicating the hell out of the youth.
Yeah.
And how sort of, you know,
it's true, actually. Yeah. It's almost like masking the problem, isn't it? Just give them a pill and
Exactly. But, so I feel like it has things to say. I love that it has things to say.
I love that was their connection and not, oh my God, she's hot. Let me, you know.
Yeah.
How can I get with her? You know, like, which is your typical CW kind of.
And theory. I don't know if you guys know this or if you guys care or even get the reference, but I like that she has like a Winnie Cooper vibe. She kind of has like the rounder face and the long brown hair, and she's got like a Wendy Cooper vibe, and I'm
And they kind of both like actual Lana and her daughter, kind of both give me Kristen Crook vibes.
You mentioned the Wonder Years, and there's kind of a vibe in the tone and the style.
I've got the
thing in my head now.
What
do you do?
Those are secret.
We want to gain viewers, not lose them. But no, so let's talk about the stranger, because I thought him using the
he looked badass as well, I just want to say.
You mean Master Chief?
Yeah, he did.
Superman doing Halo right before Halo. No, I like the fact that he used the... what's it called?
Oh, yeah, that was
nuclear
good.
The nuclear reactors.
Because of the lead,
As a sort of test to, like, let me test him out, see what he's capable of. It's like two combatants, like, you know, whether it be MMA fighters or let's say wrestling. You know, when they do that, let's test each other out and see what you're made of. Before
that feeling out phase.
Have you guys read the Batman story where Bane, the comic book story where Bane comes? He follows Batman for like months, doesn't he? Watching what he can do, and I thought it kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah,
it's a Nightfall. It's called. It's a really good story. It's when he breaks his back.
I know the visual. I know. I've seen. Yeah, picture the cover.
It's basically you read that, and then any version of Bane you see in films like cartoon, you think.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah.
But that story,
they screwed up Bane.
He watches Batman for months, and he sees what he can do, and then he basically breaks him when he's at his lowest point. And I got the feeling this was a similar. I'm not saying the Red Nightfall, but just a similar type thing. So.
Yeah.
When they finally confront each other, I love the fact that when Superman finally like has a visual on him and flies through that wall, I love how the show did it. Like,
The slow mo.
Yeah, but throughout the episode, they did it. When they wanted you to focus in on Superman's flying, they slowed him down. Because I find that in certain adaptations, when he's flying, all you see is zoom, and he's got like look at that speck. Look at that speck. The CGI speck. I can't wait. In the finale of Smallville.
Yeah, every time he flew, this time you saw him. Yeah. It was great. Yeah.
As opposed to, oh my God, I think that's Superman. Let me squint and see. Yeah, there's no CGI. But no, so I love the, and they even did it in the montage where they when he stopped the car, they purposely slowed down. And I love when they do that because oftentimes you see all you see is that blur, and it's like, let me see Superman. Let me get lost in the grandeur of him.
Yeah, which if you go back to Superman the movie. There are those great scenes after he does his first rescue and he's just flying. I love that.
Yeah, just flying.
And then I'm just like, I'm like, oh, this is heaven.
I just want to see Superman fly.
And it's like, the slow-mo was beautifully done because, like, at that moment he's crashing through a wall. But, it's that mix of, that balance of the grace of him flying but the powerful force that, like, it's like, when he needs to, like, when it's time to mean business... Like, you know,
it means business.
It's like, don't talk about Superman. Yeah. Now you've talked about, you know,
But it's funny because when he catches Superman, he says, "Oh, you're not as fast as I thought." And it made me think, did he fight a Superman? Because we know he's from another Earth. Did he fight a Superman from that Earth? You know,
maybe.
And he was a lot more powerful, basically. You know, I was thinking, in fact, somebody brought up this story. I don't know if you've ever read the story about the pocket universe where they brought Zod into the Burn era when Superman killed Zod in the Burn era. He was from Superboy's Earth, and Superboy was a lot more powerful than Superman because he was the like Golden Age Superman.
Yeah.
So somebody brought up that maybe he's from like a pocket universe and
could be.
Because that's a Luthor story too with Captain Luthor. Yeah, that's the twist.
that's where it's going to tie into Crisis, right? The events of, like...
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, though, too, that's another area where they just subverted expectations, because I felt like they were going to keep, like, the mystery of the stranger. Mm-hmm. They probably could have kept that up for a few episodes. And then right there at the very end, it's Captain Luther.
Yeah. They didn't show you his face, and I think that was very intentional, because I get the feeling he's going to show up like in a suit as somebody else, and then...
Did you, Mario, before they revealed it, did you have any kind of, like, did you have any thoughts on who that might be?
I mean, I was listening, and no, I didn't know. Oh, so, like, based on the, has it? Okay.
Yeah, you've done well to avoid it.
I'm pretty good at avoiding spoilers, so. I was thinking, like, at first I'm like, oh, is it Zod again? Or I'm listening to the little clues he's dropping, and I'm like, is it Brainiac? No. And then I'm like, at some point, I just said, like, I mean, I wonder if it's Lex in a suit, but if it's Lex in a suit, we've already met John Cryer's Lex Luthor, so I didn't think that they were going to suddenly show us another Lex already, you know? Yeah. So I was caught totally off guard when they said that at the end.
They never call him Lex, though, do they?
Yeah, no, it's Captain.
No, Captain Luthor.
I mean, it's going to be Lex.
Or is he? Yeah, they're going to throw another twist out, and he's not. He's like Steve Luthor or something.
Can you imagine his name is Lionel?
Maybe they could do that. Yeah.
That'll throw. No, but you know what? That chase sequence.
So cool.
Yeah.
There were times when this in this show where I'm like, this is not a TV show. It can't be.
This looks like a movie.
And then there was that shot when you see Superman very quickly around the world, and it's like this is their version, and it evokes so much of Man of Steel. And then when he stabs him with the kryptonite and he's falling, I'm like, okay, here's the Superman Returns reference.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're just playing, they know how to get you, and they're playing the greatest hits.
And I love it. But I love it. Here we are in the pilot episode, and he's having a battle that, you know, we didn't really see coming necessarily. And in the middle of it, he's in China. Like, I love, like, this is what a Superman battle can be. It can span the whole globe. To me, like, that shows the scale of the story, too. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that, like, every fight isn't going to coincidentally be in Smallville, and they're going to fight in cornfields and Main Street. Like, no, he ended up in, like, it was nighttime where they first started, and daytime because they were on the other side of the world in China. Yeah. And then he had to get back to what was happening on this side of the world. That's a Superman fight scene right there.
Those were great.
Yeah. I was surprised he stabbed him, because in the script he puts it's on a chain, which I love that scene in Superman the movie, and I thought they were going to... When he stabbed him, I thought, oh, because that reminded me of Superman Returns when he gets stabbed as well, I think the only reason he could pull it out was because it was sticking out still, wasn't it? Otherwise it'd have been screwed, wouldn't it? But did you notice when he pulled it out, the suit started to close?
Yeah, it healed itself right away.
Yeah.
So I guess his mom didn't take that one.
His mom didn't make that one. No, because otherwise she's got some fancy sewing materials.
There was one moment where he fell into the buildings, I think when he was in China still. And like he gets up, he centers himself, and he makes a small little point to look around as if to survey the situation.
Yeah.
Is everybody okay? Everybody was okay, and then he took off. Like that little swerve of the head makes so much.
But the bit is always gonna land on the car, and he stops and he's like,
That was good. That was good.
So good.
And it's just and I love the like sort of the shock on his face as he's getting overpowered by this.
That's a lot to take in, right?
It's like, oh, what's going on here? And then the way they kind of cut in between Superman's battle and the fight with the boys, and then you see, again, I think it was kind of
slow. I also want to say on the boys' fight, though, because, and it's something when I watch Cobra Kai, it makes me laugh. If you got hit with half those shots, right, you would be dead. the amount of... They just punch each other like it's nothing.
All right, but this is a Superman show, Steven.
Yeah, fair enough.
Come on, you gotta, at some point,
you got to check some of that.
I'm fine with it, but it just makes me laugh because I think any one of those shots would have knocked me out or killed me.
Well, yeah.
Jonathan's got internal bleeding now.
And I love the fact that, like, the effect that it does on Jordan's eyes when the heat vision starts.
Yeah.
and that afterward he seemingly had black eyes. He had like these dark bags. So I like that too, where like it took a little something out of him. Because he's not completely plutonium too. Well, he's half.
Yeah, so my favorite heat vision effect for the eyes is in Man of Steel, where and it kind of almost reminded a bit less.
It reminded me of that too. Yeah.
Because he's just the whole thing went. That was cool. That.
And even the conversation, the moment afterwards back at the house with Clark and Jordan, it really gives you the vibe of okay. There's that line, you know, the son becomes the father the son.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, he's become Jonathan. Clark has become Jonathan.
Yeah.
Because how many times in Smallville, which Mario, you know, hasn't watched much of it, but how many times did Jonathan have that conversation on the steps of the house with Clark, where he's calling, or in
the barn?
Yeah, well,
yeah.
On the loft.
Then Lara just come in and there'll be a pop song.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, I know I haven't been around, but you know, that's all going to change. I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah,
and I like that Clark is like, he's kind of thinking, how hard this must have been for my dad, because he had no understanding of what it is. Like, at least Clark has some understanding. Okay, these are the powers that I can expect to come.
Yeah,
it's just a matter. Yeah, it's just a matter of when are they coming.
You know? Obviously, Mario, you know this as well. Like, as a parent, you do kind of just make up as you go along sometimes, don't you?
You don't really know.
You've got to know how to handle it. Like, you've got to pick your battles sometimes. Like, I think, right, I'm not going to say something to him this time because it's just going to not be worth it type thing.
Yeah.
So that's
why getting to see Superman as a father, now that I'm a father, is going to be a lot of fun.
And then there was the beautiful moment at the end. It was a bit of humor, but so they're all back at the house and, you know, they're talking about moving there full time. And then Clark says, you know, come with me outside. And he's like, oh, are you going to tell us? I want to show you something. He's like, oh, are you going to tell us more Superman stuff? He's like, no, I'm going to show you how to plow the...
touch the thing to a tractor.
She's like, this barn isn't going to take care of itself.
Yeah.
That was such a, like, a typical family moment that you'd like, okay.
It was great.
Because there are moments as a family you are screaming and shouting at each other, but at the end of the day, you still all love each other. Yeah. And you do have those moments where you're all laughing and happy.
Half an hour later, it's like, okay, let's have dinner. You know what I mean?
That's what life's like, though, isn't it? That's how it is.
And did you guys catch all the names that were scattered all over the place?
There were so many name
Easter eggs. There was Dr.
Reeve as well.
There was a Dr. Reeve. Yeah. There was something with the Siegel. There was something with the Schuster mine.
Yeah.
There was like, it was just names all over the place. And I was just
And Martha's doctor was the same name as the doctor that Jonathan had in the Superman 78.
Yes.
I actually heard that
on the video today. Yeah.
My only warning for the producers, in one of those Easter eggs, you guys better put Snyder, because it's going to upset people if you don't. Save yourself the aggravation and put it somewhere on that chalkboard.
Maybe one of us should get a bad cut and go see Dr. Snyder.
Snyder cut.
And you know, I'm actually sort of like, I'm glad that, like, in terms of like audio visual callbacks, they didn't do too much Donner stuff. Like, they didn't use any John Williams score. They didn't try to show that the fortress looks like a bunch of crystal towers. Like, you know, they mentioned the names, but they don't do a lot with the music visuals. Yeah. But they did keep just one particular callback that will be there for always. And do you know which one it is? Because I'm a particular nerd of the different S's on Superman's chest.
Oh, yeah.
And Hoechlin has always had the Reeve S, where the little tail on the top corner, this little part over here, is like a little skinny diagonal line instead of the big chunky one that it usually is. So I do like that. Like, even with the new suit, he's got the S is sort of like the ultimate tribute to that S there's not a lot of visual callbacks to Reeve here, but the one that counts the most, I'd argue, is there on his chest all the time.
That's a good point. Now that you mention it, you do notice it.
Yeah, but it's the Reeve.
By the way, I love the new suit. I think the new suit's great.
I think, again, we've said it a couple times in this episode about the balance of the show. I think they're balancing between, like Mario said, it's got the Reeve S, but it's got a modern day suit a la the Man of Steel. Like,
modern
See,
day,
do you remember in the Winter Soldier where Cap has to go back and get his old costume? Yeah. Why do you have to do a scene where Superman's costume gets that damaged? He has to wear his old one for like a fight at the final.
Yeah, he comes back on the Fleischer outfit.
Like, I would like just one scene.
Oh, like, you guys don't understand. Like, if for whatever reason he said, oh, I can't wear this new suit anymore, I got to go back to this, I'd be like, all right, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, yeah. If it's just for one moment, I'd just love to see it.
I want another flashback sequence where he, you know.
Well, they did say that there's going to be more flashbacks. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun with Easter eggs because Max Fleischer suit bit, I think, is just one of a recurring thing. We're going to see other points in Superman.
They must have that they made that suit. First I thought, is it CGI? And it wasn't.
Yeah. Like, you know, so I bet we're going to see other... But think about other variations of the suit, and we're probably going to see the trunks also with the regular S. Like, we're going to see probably different versions of this. And
we'll
different
probably see
pseudo...
a full-on Reed suit, I think.
Stop it. Just stop it there, okay? I don't want to go there right now.
And we'll see him wearing the red jacket, the blue T-shirt, and the jeans.
Why not?
They'll pull it out of storage in Vancouver because they got it all there when they shot, and they're like, all right, pull it out of storage.
May as well.
No, but I think, like, you mentioned the fortress, so let's talk about the preview that we got before we rate the thing and give final thoughts.
Do we want to talk about, is there anything you didn't like? Was there anything that you kind of thought?
For me, it's quick. No, I loved everything about this pilot. No, right.
It wasn't something I disliked, but it's something I could understand if somebody think it was a bit drawn out, because it was kind of like a big gap between big action moments, if I may say. And I'm not knocking it, because that kind of stuff doesn't bother me, but I could almost relate to someone saying it were a bit slow, which I know it was a 60-minute pilot. It was the usual episode. And sometimes I think when people critique things, sometimes we can get a bit, let's backs up a bit, can't we? But I think sometimes you kind of have to step out and think, oh yeah, I could kind of see. That was the only thing for me. And the only other thing I would say is I thought the score was decent, but I wanted a bit more oomph with it.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. I wanted more of the like, give me this new Superman theme full bore. Like, I want the whole.
Yeah,
but like the you know when they were flying through the buildings, that music reminded me of Man of Steel. It was like, it wasn't quite as heavy on the drums, but
yeah.
I thought, oh, but I wanted a bit more music, and I thought, I don't know if like you said, maybe we're gonna get more as time goes on, but that was just a little thing for me.
Well, if we don't get it by the fifth episode, I'm going to tweet the composer and say, can you post the theme online so we can at least hear it?
Please?
Yeah, because I really want to hear your work.
The little bit we heard, I don't have the end credits on what I saw, so don't know, was there anything on the end credits?
No.
Not that I caught,
It jumps right into the special. Like, it jumped.
No,
like,
so there wasn't any music
on the
credits?
Well, there was, but the channel I was watching aired a commercial for the special.
Oh, they do that all the time, so you can't even hear it anyway. Yeah,
I'm watching. I know what you're hearing. I'm going to watch it, but what can you?
It's like
hear
Netflix when they just play next, and you're like, no. Do you know what? Listen to the song at end of credits.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I've got. Again, I'll give you the score comment, and I get with the pacing, but people got to remember, this was a 60-minute. Television show. It's not going to be.
Yeah. And again, I it didn't bother me. I just could see how it could.
It's not.
People.
It's not going to be, you know, 2/3 action and 1/3. Having conversations. Like, there's going to be a good balance of, you know, Superman content and Clark and Lois and the kids. So there's going to be a balance. Whereas, you know, remember Lois and Clark? You saw him as Superman for maybe 10 minutes an episode.
Yeah.
I think we'll get more of that. More Superman than that.
Yeah,
but it's not going to be him.
Well, I think the 42 certain minutes, episodes will have more than others, won't they? And then I reckon the finale will probably have a bigger action sequence that'll.
And look, we get so much Superman, like all Superman in the films, where I could use a bit more Clark Kent from time to time.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
So anyway, what you were saying about the preview,
The preview basically kind of hints that Clark is now going to take the boys on a road trip. And sort of go to the fortress to see Grandpa.
Yeah.
And you hear dialogue, and I want to know if I caught this right, but you hear Jor-El's voice saying, "You've brought me your sons."
Yeah, why? Yeah. Like, I thought you said son, not sons. Didn't it say son?
I heard sons, but it could have been.
Oh, right.
I missed that somehow.
More importantly, was the end where you quietly hear why. It's like, what the hell are you doing? I can just imagine Joe Rogan like, well, we had this sex talk back in 1978, and you didn't listen to me then. Now this is the consequences. Deal with it. You thought the IKEA bed in the corner of the fortress was a good idea? Now deal with it, son.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? That would be hilarious. But I think it's going to be fun to see Jor-El kind of interacting with his grandson or son.
Yeah.
It's going to be, again, and I'd love to see some of the current comic material brought in. And it's ripe for that, I think. So what are you guys' expectations for the next couple episodes? So Mario, what do you think?
Well, of the things teased, the things that really kind of jumped out at me were how the kids are going to, you know, how the kids are, the one kid is developing his powers and Clark is going to try to figure out how to help him to like balance that out and kind of come into his own. I feel like that's going to be interesting here because it must, you know, we've never really seen, actually, I don't know, maybe in Smallville they cover it, but what it's like to be a teenager with these abilities and where you want to show off, but you can't, and you want to show that, teach that bully a lesson, but you really can't.
Yeah.
And that weird sort of mid-ground, like, it's going to be interesting for him to teach his sons that, and then for his sons to have to look at dad and be like, oh, I have a whole new respect for you because you can do whatever you want and you still show control. So I feel like watching Clark parent his sons is going to be one of my favorite subplots of the whole season. Yeah, and they teased that, and I was all about that. Because at some point, you see the other one, you see Jordan going like, what's the point of all these powers if you can't use them or whatever?
Yeah, you know.
And it's like, that's going to be an interesting thing to watch Clark have to handle. Yeah. And Lois. You have to watch both of those parents have to handle.
Yeah, good point. Steven, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, so just the fortress scene. I can't wait for that because I love the fortress. Yeah. Sucker for it, and then pretty much just the background of the stranger, because we know we're going to get some flashbacks to why he is here and why he blames Superman and stuff. So that's pretty much it for me. I mean, going forward beyond that, I just want to see more of the villains. Like, I want to see the pantheon of Superman's villains, because we've barely scratched the surface.
I know, it's always the same two or three.
It's always freaking.
Yeah, Zod, Lexer, jeez.
Get some Brainiac in there, yeah.
And do you know what I would like to see? They'd do an episode with a nuclear man, but make him good, like, cool, and
that'd be
bring
cool.
him up to date.
Don't make him good, like a good guy, but you make him a good bad guy.
No, yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. Bring him up to date. Why not?
I like it.
So, yeah.
Like I said, I want to see more of the Superman and Son dynamic, because I think the recent comics have done so much good with that. And there's so much fertile ground that you can cover that we haven't seen before in live action. And I suspect we may get some of the modern comics in there. And if we get what I think they might be going for, Jor-El is going to be more active than just a voice or a hologram.
Yeah. And he's a pretty decent actor, that guy. So I think
I'm curious. Yeah. But let's wrap it up, boys. Final thoughts and grade. So, Stephen, you're the grade.
I know you're coming, mate.
So, no. What is the grade you want to? How do you want to?
We do usually do out of five, don't we?
Yeah. All right. So, Mario, final thought and a grade.
Final thought is it feels so damn good to have a new Superman series to follow that's touching, you know, new territory in terms of where he is as a character and his mythology. And I just can't wait for next week already. That's basically my final thought. It's like Superman is back, and we get to see him every week, and this is going to be great. In terms of the pilot, like, it's funny. I don't want to overpraise because, like, I want to give it some place to go. If I, you know, I kind of want to be like, you know, I loved it, but I still want to say 4 out of 5 to see if we can get to the 5. Like, just an absolute, this is the perfect Superman experience. But as Superman experiences go, I mean, this checked so many boxes for me that, 4 out of 5 is me being just cautious with my grading.
Yeah.
So there's an asterisk there. Okay.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, Steven?
Yeah. Superman Returns, and I'm going 4 out of 5. That's my final thought. Superman.
Woo! Yeah. We went there with the pun right away.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. This was, if you've been a fan of Superman for 10 years or more, this was a love letter to the character. It hit all the right notes. And I just want to enjoy this like it's a buffet. Just give me more.
And you guys are right. Superman's back, and he's flying higher than ever based on this one episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to echo both of your sentiments, and I'm going to go one step further and say 4.5 because I really have nothing to knock, and I don't want to give it a 5 out of a homer.
Yeah.
So a 4.5, but I can't wait to see more. Like, yeah. Bring me, get the Flash here and have him speed me over to next Tuesday. But that's going to bring this episode to an end. Mario, it's always fun to
thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this. Yeah.
So. We'll have to get you back on some point later in the season.
Maybe the season possible. Finale.
Yeah,
maybe the season finale. We'll bookend the show with Mario.
First and if it's possible, I'm going to be discussing the show more on my show this Friday.
We'll tune in. Tune in for part 2.
Looking forward to that,
To be continued on the Fanboy. This was great. Superman's back, and... Let's enjoy the ride.
Stop the bickering. Feels good.
Let's enjoy the hope and optimism.
Yep.
But that'll bring it to an end. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you enjoyed Superman and Lois. And until next time, stay super.
Stay super.
Stay super.